This is JFM Podcast.
Of the police community relations from the regular.
It is time for us to unite and move the step forward.
To the absurd.
The Senate President has sent prayers to your mailbox.
News headlines get us talking. For every story that makes the headlines, you need experts and analysts.
The complaint basically is they'll say motivation. I mean, the pay
is
not good.
Yeah, motivation and even
the moral. And then we don't produce, we consume. You see, the social investment program was almost like a charity funding. Did it reach the poorest of the poor? And in what form? You borrowed and that's people money dashed.
Every weekday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., join Ponsa Fanab and Gilbert Joseph on Nigeria at Sunset as they dissect trending political and social issues, bringing light to darkness and voices to silence.
Because as I am now, I'm a very confused man. Because whether to go to left or go to right.
Hello there, very good evening to you and welcome to the program Nigeria at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab. It is a beautiful day today, Tuesday, 14th of May 2024. So much to be thankful for. Gilbert, good evening. How's the day? How's the going?
Good evening, Ponsak. On a thankful note, so much. I agree with you indeed to be thankful for. Good evening, listener, and welcome to the show.
Yeah. Well, I think the first we shall begin in Plateau State. Last week, the Transition Implementation Committee Chairman of Kwampan, Honorable Christopher Manship, he did something very remarkable and extraordinary. And it just goes to show his dexterity when it comes to leadership, because there was, you know, a little pogrom, you know, in Kwampan. And the swift way he responded, you know, addressing the situation, for me, is very remarkable. It shows how peaceful, first, he is, you know, as a human being. And then the second thing is that it shows how he wants to provide quality leadership so that Kwampan, you know, the leadership, the good governance that he's bringing, so that it's going to continue. Because if there's any fracas or any pogrom, you know, it's going to be a huge distraction, you know, for him as a leader. So I commend him. I commend Honorable Christopher Walat Manship. Please continue to do that and continue bringing people together, mending the broken wall. I know that now they are, you know, they have to deal with the trust that is already been, you know, affected, bruised, but nothing is impossible, especially when it comes to a human being. So huge kudos to you, and may not stop here, Honorable Christopher Manship. May it continue, you know, do everything to make sure that that bruised trust, you know, gets healed, and then Kwampan, you know, we will be better for it.
I first saw the news, you know, when the whole thing had happened and he had convened an emergency security council meeting at that level. And I was like, wait a minute, it's Kwampan local government.
Yeah.
Because usually nothing gets to be heard. In fact, regardless of whatever forms of attacks are taking place anywhere in Plateau State, you rarely can hear that Kwampan local government is in the news. And I was like, oh. That was quite alarming by my judgment and estimation. But it's good that, you know, he arrested that situation. It's also good. I think that really defines what it means to nip a situation in the bud. Because up until right now that we speak, I'm not very sure. Many people heard that Kwampan had witnessed something of that nature. So that's leadership by example. And that's really what it means to lead from the front. Because you put yourself at the center of everything, saying that, look, if we perish together. And if we get salvaged, then all of us would be salvaged together. It's remarkable. Otherwise, some other persons would have thrown a deaf ear, you know, and not even paid any sort of attention to that. And would be talking about, by now, an escalation of tension and all of the negativity associated with that, problems like that. So it's really remarkable indeed.
Yeah, so continue the good work. The chairman of Kwampan, that is Honorable Christopher Manship. Well, what stories have kept you busy today, Gilbert? I know that, well, before it skipped my mind, let me congratulate the State President of Nolgi, that is Comrade Arandong McQueen Johanna. Today he was conferred with an award. Congratulations to you. For me, it gladdens my heart when I saw some of things that he has achieved, you know, under his term as President of Nolgi and Plateau State. Quite remarkable, Comrade Arandong McQueen. And for me, the award by this group, youth group, is doesn't come to me as a surprise. You know, he has really maintained, you know, industrial harmony in the union. Not, I believe that unionism shouldn't always be confrontational, but when there should be dialogue, there should be conversation. I think people should be open and honest, you know, to have those conversations, no matter how hard or tough, you know, it's going to be. So congratulations to you, Comrade Arandong McQueen Johanna, on your new award.
Yeah, congratulations to him. When you see people succeed, I think, like you say, for you in sports, it's whoever that wins.
Yeah.
That you take sides with. You know, so that's what life is all about. When people excel and when people do well, it's always good, you know, to appreciate their efforts, because it will serve as huge examples to those coming behind, and even better, the lot of society.
And huge inspiration, if you ask me. Huge inspiration.
True.
Huge inspiration.
So, Hadi Sirika, of course, our national carrier, you know, he was the brain behind the Nigerian Air, you know, before the last administration rounded up. But he's been tried alongside his brother for 19.4 billion naira.
His daughter?
You know, his daughter, yeah. Basically, all of his cronies, majorly his closest cronies, to say, have been tried for this particular charge. And unfortunately, you know, his arraignment got stalled today, as they weren't even around, you know, in court. They weren't around. The reports captured that they had left Abuja, you know. And I think that's something, if you ask me, I would say was deliberate. Because you probably know, or by now you would have known, that you're expected to appear in court for certain reasons, and then all of a sudden you disappear to thin air. What are we talking about here? You know, and it calls again to question the attempt or the way and manner in which this government is going about fighting corruption. Because as we speak, Yaya Bello is still nowhere in sight. Despite saying that he's going to, you know, make himself available in court under certain conditions. Is that what we should be talking about, Ponsak? So that's what has really, really bothered me a bit.
You know, Gilbert, there's some terms that we use, especially as journalists. I think the onus of fighting corruption shouldn't lie solely in the hands of any administration or government. You know, it should be the state. I mean, with or without President Tinubu, the state should be seen, you know, prosecuting corrupt offenders. It shouldn't be that, like during the time of former President Buhari, when he came and the fight against corruption, there was so much hullabaloo noise. The PDP camp were saying that, no, he's witch hunting people. And for me, I don't like that word, you know, witch hunt, because the state should be seen doing. EFCC is not APC PDP. It belongs to the federal government of Nigeria, the Republic. That's the people. The EFC or ICPC, it belongs. So it should be a Nigerian thing to fight corruption. It shouldn't be whether, you know, a government will be out to say, I'm going to fight corruption. I mean, but have you ever heard, you know, any politician in the world apart from Nigeria saying that he's going to fight corruption? No. Corruption should be, because we have institutions.
Systems. Yes. Yeah.
We have institutions, you know, that are there to fight corruption. Instead of, you know, people to make it a campaign promise. And some people were even voted because, you know, of that promise that they are going to fight corruption. Fighting corruption shouldn't be someone's personal ambition. It should be what the state is against. Because corruption is stealing from the people of the Republic, in this case, Nigeria. So it shouldn't be the administration of Tinubu. No, it should be the government of Nigeria fighting corruption, because those persons have stolen from the Nigerian people, from, you know, the Commonwealth. So I think that, you know, Hadi Sirika should face the music. Yaya Bello, face the music. Let it serve, you know, as a deterrent. And for me, there should be some form of,
You know, in the Westerners will always say that, or will say that in Africa we have, in Nigeria we have shame culture. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where our shame, you know, has gone to. Because people outrightly will commit huge offenses. And instead of making them feel ashamed or guilty of what they've done, we come and honor them. And we even give them respectable, you know, titles, you know, in society. So it kind of serves like as an inspiration to others, you know, coming under to say, okay, this is the cool thing to do right now. Just steal and then a chieftaincy title or a huge religious title will be conferred on you. And then, you know, you have your honor in society. Reversal rather be the case. But you see how ironical we live, you know, in our society.
Unfortunate. Unfortunate indeed.
Well, let's play this insert from Sanusi Garba. When we come back, we have an interesting guest. He was in the news over the weekend, and he's going to tell us what really happened. Stay here.
NEC should change their own policy of increasing tariff. Unknown to some of us here, NEC's policy of increasing tariff is based on inflation and the value of the currency. So if NEC, with what they have done now, they have created inflation, they will still go back to increase tariff because of inflation, which they created. Can you see how people are benefiting from their own wickedness? So, comrades, we are here to make this statement clear that we are not just saying don't increase tariff, don't increase tariff. You can't increase tariff for nothing. Nigeria should work with the movement, labor movement, to see how we can improve the power being generated today.
We have listened to you. We have listened to the concern of Nigerians, and we'll make adequate case and representation to the policy side on the issue of affordability of tariffs. The Commission has issued a number of orders on capping estimated bills by all discos, limiting how much they can bill you. On a better news for the Nigerian consumers is that President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has approved the Presidential Metering Initiative, giving deadlines to meter all customers in Nigeria. Any distribution company that bills you above the caps issued by the Commission, report to our forum offices, report to our office here, and we'll do the need.
Well, glad you're still with us. The program is Niger at Sunset on J101.9 here in Jos. My name is Ponsak Fanab.
My name is Gilbert Joseph.
Like I said before the break, we have an interesting guest. I mean, we can only get this, I guess, once in a while. He's very open. I mean, the first time I've interviewed him, you know, a couple of times. And one of those times he said, ask me any question. You can even ask me when my mother conceived me and I'll tell you. Without further ado, we have the former Minister for Youth and Sport, Honorable Barrister Solomon Selkap Dalung, is here with us. Good evening. Thank you so much for coming, sir.
Yeah, good evening, Ponsar, and good evening, Nigerians, and especially Plateau people.
It's good to see you on your feet, because the news we read over the weekend for me was very scary. Maybe you tell us, you know, what happened personally so that our listener will know, okay, this is what happened. Blocks, tabloids in all over the country. I mean, they reported that Buhari minister, there's one headline that I saw that former Buhari minister broke, been hospitalized and is in need of 80,000 naira. What really happened, you know? Was that the situation, or what do you know truly? Is it that you are broke now, you don't have money? And what actually happened, sir?
Well, as whether I am broke, I have money, I think people are free to hold opinions. But the truth is that on Wednesday last week, about 3 p.m., I suddenly took ill. I was feeling not myself. So I immediately invited my driver and orderly and said, please, I'm not feeling normal. Take me to the hospital. So they took me and we were on our way, and then the events were unfolding so rapid. suddenly started losing consciousness. So I told them when we got to the hospital that I'm feeling uneasy and I may not be able to come out of the car. So let them inform my doctor and help me out. They went into the hospital and came out and said, the doctor said they should bring me to his office for examination. So they supported me and took me into the doctor's office. And as the examination proceeded, I suddenly was battling between erratic consciousness. So I told the doctor, I am unstable and I will need to lie down. So he gave me the examination bed in his office to lie down, and he concluded his examination. Thereafter, the last I could have was admission. So I nodded my head. So he said I should stand up so that they can take me to the listing. I had this, but then I was unable even to sit up. So they came and then supported me and took me. So I thought I was going into admission. Then I was ferried into a room where, again, what my consciousness recorded was I saw an inscription on the door, emergency room. So I was taken in there around 4 o'clock. Well, I didn't know what happened. But suddenly around 8 o'clock, I had this storm of cold enveloping around me. And suddenly I became conscious and I looked around, there was nobody. So I said, I needed something to cover myself. I am terribly cold. So that attracted the attention of my aides and the hospital staff. They came in and my orderly was telling me, well, I cannot get attention, even anything to cover myself here, because I have not paid 80,000 naira as admission deposit.
Oh, okay.
I said, 80,000 naira, yes. How can somebody who has been unconscious pay admission deposit? Couldn't it have been that I was given attention and when I am up, I could pay them? I said, no, they said they cannot do anything unless I paid.
A deposit of 80,000.
80,000, yes. And then my Audrey showed me a carton by my side containing drips and injections that were waiting for the payment of 80,000 before they could be administered on me. If I, after taking into admission, so I asked for my phone and I tried to do transfer, but again, this erratic unconsciousness, I come off and on. And so I battled with it, but to God be the glory, I was able to transfer 80,000. So I was ferried into admission, and I went into unconsciousness again until the following morning when I became myself. And so I asked my orderly, what happened? And he said, well, the problem was we have not paid we had not paid admission deposit, so they said there was nothing they could do. And they persuaded them much. Dada, I'm not new, which is true. I'm not strange in the hospital because that is my clinic. In fact, in the last 2 months, I had my comprehensive medical checkup in that clinic. They kept debating until this happened. So I was on admission there for 3 days. But when I regained my consciousness, I was frightened. I was frightened because it came into my mind that many people, many Nigerians, would have died through this same process. And that frightened me. Because I was imagining, assuming I did not become conscious, suddenly the story in the next morning would have been that, I mean, he suddenly took ill and died of a brief illness.
Yeah.
Nobody would have put the story properly so that I can rest in my grave peacefully, that there was no 80,000 on the ground immediately to pay, and I was unconscious, and so the hospital could not attend to me until I passed on. So that frightened me. The second thing that also now frightened me was that, I mean, we move in this country with one status symbol. They said, oh, we have names. So if that status could not bail me at that point in time, I mean, somebody who had served Nigeria in the capacity of a federal minister, which I do know that even if I had no 80,000, a call across to anywhere in the world can produce 80,000. But I was abandoned because of 80,000. So what becomes of a well-meaning Nigerian who may not have even 1,000 of his own, and he found himself in that my situation? Because I concluded that so many people had gone there and transcended, or had gone to our hospital and transcended
into glory,
into the mortuary.
Yeah. Well, we're happy that you're well, and I learned that your good friend in Kaduna State is also ill, and we pray that God is going to heal him as well. Let's come to Plateau State. Governor Mutfwang took oath of office 29th of May 2023. It's about 1 year since when he was sworn in into office to serve a tenure of 4 years. And I don't know if you're still member of the APC. As member of the opposition, that is, if you're still member of the APC, what have been your assessment, you know, of the Mutfwang administration for about 1 year so far? What are some of the things that you are seeing, whether good or bad?
I'm a very difficult human being, and people don't impress me easily because I don't even impress myself. So I must be convinced before I will be impressed. Well, for Governor Mutfwang, Governor Mutfwang is a leader, and he has a large heart. He has also compassion. And in my own judgment, he has some of the attributes of heritage of Plateau leadership. I'm saying this against the backdrop of what I have seen him do. I'm not impressed with him as Mutfwang, but I'm impressed with him as a leader. I was just coming into your office, and I saw across this bridge,
Utokon Bridge, yeah,
that has been abandoned. since Jiang left office. And the bridge has been, the part that has not been completed has just been completed.
Yeah.
I saw it. Now that's part of what I've been seeing. I've also been to some part of Jos North where the last time you can imagine that road construction took place was maybe some 20, 25, 30 years ago. A massive road transformation is going on. I went to my friend's house in Redfield, and I saw road transformation going on there. Now, my problem with Mutfang's road transformation project is that it's not done by contract. The Plateau State roads.
Yeah, you're saying that your problem with it is that it's not done by contract.
Yeah, it's not done by contract.
So is that a problem?
Yeah, it's a problem because, you see, it has introduced something different.
Okay.
It's a problem because I'm speaking honestly.
Okay.
Because that means that it is possible for us to use the Plateau State Road Management Agency to construct very good roads. Now I'll conclude his assessment with the Sabon Bariki Bukuru Junction.
Yeah, that's your house in Jos.
Where my house
is.
That road has been abandoned since Jiang started it. Because Jiang started it before he left office. It has not gotten attention.
And many even argue that you should have completed it while you were minister.
Well, we tried everything we did as a people to get the government to complete that road. But the government refused to do that. People also feel that, okay, as a minister, I could have completed it. It was very easy for me to have gone to the Minister of Works and tell him, look, complete this road. But it's not done that way. That is a state road. And the federal government cannot just jump into it unless they have the buy-in and the approval of the state.
Due process then.
Yeah, so Benny, as a former member of the National Assembly, should have known this very well, except maybe she's raising that in defense of politics. So for Mutfang, and then you see the launching of the mass transit buses, transformation of the railway station, and then the distribution of fertilizer. The last time I saw fertilizer distributed this year was during Chief Solomon Lara, where common people were given fertilizers, and I saw them because I didn't know they were distributing it. I was driving in Langtang South, out of Langtang South, and I saw in villages people carrying fertilizer on motorcycle and going away with it. That also is leadership. Then the distribution of palliative, which the distribution of fertilizer, yeah, the governor directed it. But the problem normally, as it would be, many people went and diverted some of the fertilizers for sale in the market. But the worst that happened, which the governor admitted himself, was the palliatives. The palliatives were taken to the markets, even with the branding of the picture of the governor, and sold by disgruntled political elements who and they lack human sympathy and we are trying to undermine that good intention of government. So my assessment of Mutfang is to say that he is trying and he should do more.
All right. Let's look at his relationship with the government at the center. What's, you know, previously, of course, your relationship with the past government is obvious, and I think it's something you probably would have wanted to even touch on when you were speaking about the route around your house and all. But what ideally should be the relationship between federal government and subnational government? The plateau situation or scenario now, what sort of relationship would you have wanted the previous government to enjoy with the government at the center? Some would say, again, it was a very good relationship because at least the governor then had a good rapport, just like you, with Mr. President. But how has that transcended to the good that plateau people would have wanted to see? Help us just to do a little comparison, or tell us what you see now as against what was obtainable in time past.
The interpretation of the vertical and horizontal federal relationship in a presidential system is not something that is of law, but is of the charisma of a leader. We had a very smooth relationship in the past administration for the benefit of the governor and his government, but it wasn't for the benefit of the people of Plateau State. And therefore, it translated into nothing substantial, because you cannot single out any project and say this was done by the federal government. I mean, during Obasanjo, two major roads were constructed. Panyam Shendem was constructed. Vuom Manchok was constructed. Jute was completed. So, you see, that's a relationship, a federal relationship with a subnational government that translated substantially into a democratic dividend. Now, the democratic dividend, which goes into only the benefit of the governor and his officials in terms of appropriation of appointments, then appointing of close people to you and family members, maybe sometimes your in-laws, maybe the devil will tempt you to also try to appoint concubines. That one is for a personal benefit. I think Mutfwang, in terms of that relationship, we cannot assess him effectively. The reason is that he ran a battle in the courts with his mandate, and he had just returned. But nonetheless, we have seen some cordial efforts on his side, I mean, to try to cement a very formidable relationship with the center, even though maintaining the identity of his government as a government, a party in opposition. But we are in government, so we should relate with each other as government. So in the interim, I mean, the steps he has taken in terms of relating with the center is commendable. But he needs a more robust engagement. It's not a personal thing. That's a mistake leaders make. A leader is more respected if he has a network of men of opinion around him, and they represent him. You know, a leader is, with a charisma, is like a sacred institution. So if the governor says, Oponsak, go and do this to me, you see, he's sending in himself in a representative capacity. The more he does that, he's seen as a leader that has the backing of his people, and he's going to be respected more. But the mistake we make is the leader isolates himself and always go alone. So he's not taken with any weight. So I think Governor Mutfang will increase and improve on that so that we can benefit more, because Plateau has been shortchanged more than any other state in the north in terms of access to the benefit of the sub-government, sub-national government, and the federal government.
You have just spoken about, you know, him being in the opposition. Don't you think that sending lieutenant or adjutant, as it were, might not necessarily pass the kind of message that a governor in the opposition should, and probably that's why he makes all of the efforts to go himself?
No, he's following the footprints of Chief Solomon Lar. Chief Solomon Lar was an opposition governor, but he had a very smooth and a cordial relationship with Shagari. They only disagree on the rostrum. And so many things that we got from the center was because of that relationship. And don't forget that Lar and Shagari were members of the parliament, and they were the two closest people to the first prime minister. So he maximized that very well for the benefit of Plateau. He got the loan that constructed almost all the hospitals and clinics, cottage hospitals, in the then Plateau, through that same relationship. So there are things the governor will do himself. Okay, let me also consolidate on this issue of the governor's building a very robust leadership base that is gaining the confidence of the people of not even Plateau, but I mean the minorities in the north. When he was going for the commissioning of a church in Gombe, he invited almost every leader from the entire north. So Christian leaders came from all over the north, and they congregated in Gombe. And I was engaging some of them, and they had some sense of relief that, I mean, we are beginning to have a rallying point to be able to articulate ourselves within the Nigerian Federation. Because if you don't have a platform, if you don't have a leadership direction to articulate, you will always be isolated, segregated, blackmailed, and what even belongs to you naturally, you will not get. So Mutfang is building an experience. He doesn't have the requisite political experience that he doesn't have. He has leadership, but he doesn't have the requisite political experience to navigate. So what he needs to do now is to identify within Plateau, I mean, leaders of experience, and engage them, bring them together. He is a governor, not of any party. He's a governor of the people of Plateau. Let him reach out. We need a consensus to be able to develop a unique state, a unique economy that will attract everybody, because we have everything it takes in this state to be able to assert ourselves as a people. But this idea of trivialities, I mean, bringing trivial divisions within, had also destroyed us. Then the crisis has been so protracted. The crisis has given us a bad image. We have no good role at all that we played in it. We are just victims of the crisis, just like everybody. We need to come together to get out of it. We cannot deal with the crisis by we and them. No. We must isolate criminals and deal with criminals. If we use we and them, we are going to segregate the society into compartment, and both good people who would have been with us will identify with the criminals, because the identity we gave the criminals is only an identity that can accommodate them.
All right.
And so we're going to have problems. So, but we should try very much to try to sift good people to our side. There are differences, it's not the issue. come together. And then the criminals will have a very clear demarcation. And we know that these are the enemies of Plateau. They may even be indigenous. I told the governor that, look, we always misinterpret crisis on the Plateau. There is no attack of a community that has no internal intelligence network of another indigenous element. It happened to us, Tarok. During the crisis, we were attacked left, right, and center. And the precision with which the criminals were attacking and how they identified their targets. I mean, these are strange people. So how did they know that Ponsag is a neighbor to me? And they could come and attack me and jump Ponsag's house and go to the one. So we were wondering about this. Then God helped us. One day in a village, some three young men came and they were attempting to fetch the soil of that town. So vigilance caught up with them. So they were now arrested. So we interrogated them. And they said, the criminals have been trying to attack this village, but it has been impossible. It is either they come and the village, according to their own interpretation, this village is not there, or they come and see water. So this situation made them to consult their marabout, who now told them that the only way they can have a breakthrough is to come and get the soil. So that was why they came for. So where were you people from? So the man gave us good information that they were from a camp in the bush in a neighboring state. I also was sought to know the size of the camp and their capacity. And they give us a very good intelligence that a complete garrison was there. But to cut a long story short, that information helped us. And Tarao people, they are very funny people. We can take a battle to anybody's doorstep because we're not afraid.
But that's not been funny, sir. On a lighter note, let's talk about the minister. Because there's much hullabaloo in Plateau now as to who is going to represent Plateau, as minister. Some people are beginning to address the former candidate, of your party, the APC, that is Dr. Nentawe, saying minister designate. I mean, what's going on? And how do you think the selection process will be? Do you think that Mr. President is going to consult Governor Mutfang to say, Mr. Governor, please recommend, someone from your state?
The internal politics of nomination of a minister is very complex. Politicians are at will to continue with beer parlor gossip as to who will be nominated. But it is a prerogative of the president. And the person to be appointed is a person that will also earn the confidence of the president. He's going to work with him. So the final choice, recommendation may be made by people, but the final decision is usually going to be by the president. The governor of Plateau State, though not having any, he has a very mutual relationship with the president. The president will still trust him. Because, the president is looking at Nigeria. He's not looking at political party. He's looking at Nigeria.
And he said national government.
Yeah, and especially, Plateau is a very complex state. So he will embark on some robust consultation. So the governor will be one of the stakeholders he will want to engage. In his party, he will also have to look very well as to who he's going to pick as a minister. But I think we have missed that position for too long because the minister should have been replaced immediately after Governor Lalong went to the Senate. He should have been replaced. So I will also use the opportunity to call on the president to say, look, that seat of the Plateau people in the federal executive has been very, very vacant for too long. Our voice has not been heard. We have not been part of the national conversation in this country. We have not also been benefiting in whatever is happening in the decision-making process. So get for us as soon as possible a person of your choice from Plateau to sit in the Federal Executive Council and represent our people.
You can join the conversation 081-218-77777 or you call 090-556-6699. Don't forget to turn down the volume of your radio before you call. We've been having a chat with the former Minister of Youth and Sports, Honorable Chief Barrister, Solomon Selkab Dalong is here with us.
On Facebook, we are JFM Live, and on X, it's at JFM Just. But he'll tell us his party thereafter.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's take this call. Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for calling. Straight to the point. Tell us your name, please.
Thank you, my brother. This is Yusuf from Ejoshua.
We're listening.
My minister, good evening, sir. We thank God for the life that today you are in the studio with our brother Ponsak for us to hear your voice again. I remember you are the minister during Lalonde administration. You come on air and tell Plateau people to ask Lalonde where the money he collected for completing of the Australia Road Stadium is. That he collected money, let Plateau people ask him where he kept the money. And you are a man of integrity. I just, maybe it's because of the good thing that you are doing that makes you to be alive today. So continue the good thing that you are doing. God will see you through. Good evening, sir.
Thank you. Yeah. Hello? Okay, no worry, kid. Maybe Gilbert, you take us through social media.
All right. Let's go to Facebook. I hope this works as soon as possible, because I see that there's a minimal challenge. All right. Oh.
All right.
Okay, just take the call.
Okay, we can squeeze in one more. Hello? Hello, good evening. Thank you for calling.
Hello, good evening, Pompa.
Tell us your name.
Good evening.
Yeah, tell us your name straight to the point, please.
Manjubulus is my name, calling you from Defo in Bokos.
We're listening.
So I want to commend the former minister. He has spoken well. You know, I've been following him, even when he was still a member of the APC. Before eventually he dumped the party to SDP. I think that is a party currently. I don't know if he has changed the party, but this is I've been following all his conversation. To some extent, if you ask me, he's a member of the SDP. That's the Social Democratic Party. So that's the party that I know. I don't know whether he has become and go back to us, the APC. So he has spoken very well, to some extent, just like, in fact, the truth, in fact, it is only the truth that we will save someone from being destroyed, if you ask me. Politicians, one thing with politicians, you have seen a black, and a red, and you say, it's black. No, we should learn to have integrity, not like the integrity of what so-called position. No, the former administration of Lalonde did nothing for the people of Plateau except trying to please their chronic family and in-laws, and that is what we know, and that was exactly what your guest is even saying in the studio. Nothing to show for the past 30 years. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Lalonde has caused a lot of damage to the good people of Plateau State. He has been moving around, doing nothing, telling us that he's winning investors. No, today he will tell you that he's the only governor that spent 80 years without conducting a credible one local government election in Plateau State. Go and check the record.
Thank you.
That he did wonderfully well by conducting local government election. That did the same. But anytime there's a local government election, you tell me that there's insecurity here on the plateau. It's quite unfortunate. Good evening.
Thank you. There's much comment we'll take on the call, Gilbert.
Maybe on Facebook, Falkuka Gowon says, the federal government, I think, has done a lot by giving palliatives and so many other things to the state government. We're seeing them on ground, truly. Dakian Bamshak Luka says, I pray for more health and strength to my daddy. All what BCM is doing indeed is to the best interest of Plateau. My prayers for him to have a good relationship between the state and federal government for more collaboration. Comrade Longa Dao says, calling for more better relationship between the federal government and the state government. The two tiers of government need each other, but local government is dying in silence. BCM, keep the good work going. Plateau State will rise again. Clems Dambi says, what happened with the honorable minister at the hospital was very unfortunate. The relationship between the state and federal government has been a cordial one, though, from different political parties, but Plateau State has experienced support from the federal government, ranging from palliatives and many other benefits, which all citizens are witnessing. Izang, as he says, I'll say big thumbs up to the present administration. They have tried in keeping good relationship between state and the federal government. More grace and wisdom of leadership to BCM.
Yeah, okay. Well, Honorable, please go ahead and give your response. You heard from what the people had to say.
And tell us the political party you belong to.
Well, I have listened to the opinions, and I want to thank the people for understanding the fact that, I mean, we need ourselves more than any other association. And once you have leadership, it only succeeds when people rally around it.
But Honorable, one thing I'm so impressed, you know, with your analysis, very honest and blunt, is that your comparison with Governor Mutfang and the late Chief Ezdilar, because I recall that, I mean, that's why they call him Baba, you know, everybody was, and it was Plateau, Nasarawa, you know, then. Do you think that, and you've worked with the late Chief Ezdilar very close, in fact, at some point in time, you were his personal aide. Do you think that you are looking at Mutfang, you know, in that capacity to say, okay, here's someone that is going to emancipate, is going to salvage and bring all Plateau together in respect of your tribe, your religion, your creed, whatever it is?
No, Mutfang has all those qualities. I've looked at him. I've watched him closely. I've listened to him. He has all those qualities. Mutfang is a very compassionate leader. Let me tell you something that Mutfang did that impressed me. During the breaking of fast, he admitted that he approved the distribution of palliatives, but that what disappointed him was that the palliatives were taken to the market with his picture and sold. No governor will do that for you except an honest man. So that is honesty. He admitted that, I mean, his government felt in trying to send the palliatives to the right place, even though he directed, but his directives were not carried. And he admitted, he owned up. But he said, I am not going to tolerate that again. That statement endeared me and said, look, in this man, there is leadership. There is that leadership. We need to build it. Let me appeal to Plateau people. Not everybody will be a governor, but we can play roles as governor in so many capacities. And we can only do this by looking at the state and not our differences, political differences, ethnic or religious. No. I want to emphasize to the people of Plateau State that let us identify the criminal elements in our midst and the bad people. Let us identify them. Put them on their own side and let us take our side of progressive people who want to build this state. When it is time for politics, we still look at, oh, who has done better. If Mutfang continues and has done better, nothing stops me from coming to say, no, for me, I think he has done better. Let's support him.
All right.
I will do that. But we should not, because, oh, I want to contest with him, even when there are empirical evidence on the ground to say he should leave that place. That will destroy us. Rwanda became an industrial nation today, not because they changed so many leaders, but they supported a leader who convinced them that he was determined to change their society.
Thank you. Thank you so
much.
Your
party, sir. Are you of the APC?
I'm a member of the Social Democratic Party. I resigned from the All People's Congress when they drifted off the radar.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chief Barrister Solomon Selkabdalung. Thank you so much for your wonderful analysis. Well, dear listener, this is the much we'll take on the show. The news will come your way top of the hour, 6 o'clock. Do have a good evening. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to JFM Podcast.